Guys, I'm between jobs. I gotta pay rent. I need money. Subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for this show, Paleo Bites. A little bit of bonus content for my show, The Ritwit, currently on indefinite hiatus. But mostly Paleo Bites stuff. And the Paleo Bites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about The Lost World Book 1995. Specifically, the Michael Crichton sequel to Jurassic Park, the book version. It's very confusing. He named it a title that's like other classic dinosaur story, and it's a sequel to another classic dinosaur story, but not the movie version, the book version. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the book version. It's very confusing. Why did you call it that? At least it's not as confusing as the movie version, where it's The Lost World, Jurassic Park. It should be the other way around! Anyways, we're talking about that Michael Crichton sequel to the Michael Crichton book, Jurassic Park. That's pretty good. You can definitely tell that the later Jurassic World movies, particularly Dominion, took a lot of inspiration from it. Link is in the description, where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for support. Have a good day. Help me pay rent, please! Ah, I don't want to get evicted!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast equivalent of gastroliths. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I am joined by... I'm trying to think of a way to introduce her in a way I haven't. Because you've been here since the beginning! Oh my god!
Yes, I have!
It's the one and only Natasha Crack. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Pretty good. Sorry you had to drive down here for so long.
Hey, you're good. I drive for a living. What's a few more hours behind the wheel?
I guess it's true. I just feel bad for gas or whatever. Because how long was the drive here?
I was already in Denver, so...
Oh, well, then that's not too bad.
It was
like 30 minutes then, maybe.
Maybe.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. That's good. I'm glad didn't have to drive from your hometown.
I mean, even then, it wouldn't have been a bad drive. I use the highways like crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Okay, well, that's good. You're used to it as a future trucker. Well, as of now, new trucker, I guess.
Well, we'll see when this episode comes out.
Yeah, it's true. This episode will come out at least a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, nope. I've got a few weeks, plus I got a test to pass.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And I'm taking the hard route. I'm going for a manual transmission.
Okay, so this is the dinosaur lake question I'm going to ask you, and it involves trucking again.
All right.
You're driving your truck down a highway. It's something like a T-Rex is on the highway, standing right in front of you. There's no way to swerve around it without getting off the road. What do you do?
Well, here's what I was taught when it came to wildlife when I started driving my personal car.
Yeah.
Stop if you can. Duck if you have to. Don't go into the ditch for an animal.
Right. It's like, I've heard, regrettably, the best choice is often to hit the animal.
Usually,
especially if you're driving really fast and you're like in a little
car. If you're at highway speeds, there's no way you can stop. Even a regular car at 65 miles an hour needs a lot of space to stop.
Well, not only, if you try to brake, you could blow out a tire, you could like skid out of control. Like,
and you were just talking personal cars.
Those are just personal. Yeah, so like a truck. Like
the big rigs.
If you brake, you're
likely going to jackknife.
Your trailer would just go swirling behind you.
The laws of physics very much govern
semis, exactly.
To a degree that most people just are not aware of.
Absolutely.
I mean, thank goodness a T-Rex is big. See it.
You see it coming. You stop, and then
you could start applying the air brakes pretty quickly.
I guess you could honk at it and hope it walks off.
I mean, it's a T-Rex. It might challenge you.
Well, okay, so if you're in the truck, you successfully come to a stop, and the T-Rex is right in front of you, kind of roaring, looking at you. Clearly gearing up for a challenge. What the hell do you do? Do you try and drive the truck as fast as you can towards its ankles?
Well, I remember the things are 13 and a half feet tall.
Yeah. So I guess it's probably looking at you in the eye.
You probably hit it in the knees pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. So.
But you're taking the truck with you.
That's true. You're coming with me. You're coming to the afterlife with me.
Probably. I mean, what's the maximum an adult T-Rex could have theoretically weighed?
I think maybe like 10 tons, like 20,000 pounds.
Okay.
So if you're an 80,000 pound truck, you have the advantage, but...
You would have the advantage, but you're both probably seeing if there's an afterlife. And there's probably no way around that.
Well, no, what probably is fortunately going to happen is that you ran into the T-Rex, you die, because you get, even with air brakes and also, like, airbags, like, you're still going to get crushed.
Oh, probably, because like, that engine ain't no joke.
The T-Rex, like, flopples over and, like,
yeah, the T-Rex is most likely going with you, depending on the speed you hit it at.
I'd actually wager it'd be more likely that the T-Rex walks away.
We have moose in this era. Moose walk away from crazy stuff.
Well, in
Australia,
you got like kangaroos. There's so many comedians I've heard, because I listen to a lot of Australian podcasts. They've said they've screwed up their cars on a kangaroo. Like, they have wrecked their cars on a kangaroo.
Oh, I don't
doubt
it.
The kangaroo is fine. Like, it just.
And I've heard that about moose up in Alaska.
And not even just kangaroos and moose. Those, like, I could argue those are big animals, moose especially. Wombats! Wombats are little iron balls of pure stoppage. If you hit a wombat with your car, the wombat will just walk off while your car is destroyed. And these are, like, the animals the size of a raccoon. Like,
I mean,
Australia,
Australia,
man.
Props you who survive there.
Australia, all the veterans of the Great Emu War, salute you.
I actually recently got invited to join, and I declined it because I'm not Australian, a group for Australian road train drivers.
Oh, nice. But like, there's a whole Australian highway, though, that you talk about. Like, if you do drive a truck there and you break down, you're dead.
Well,
because
if you're
in the middle of the outback.
Anywhere in the outback, you really don't want to break down. You have to have supplies.
You have to make
sure. Our Aussie listeners can fill us in on those details.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Man. But, let's see. How can I segue into... Oh, I guess Australia, one thing it's really known for, at least in the coast, is its sharks.
Yeah, they got sharks. Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what today's creature is. I understand it's a shark.
It is a shark. Well, actually... In the most technical sense, it's not really a shark. I mean, look, here's the thing. I'll get into the dirty secret about sharks as we go on. So it's called Hybodus. It means crooked tooth. Type. It is a hybodont, a group of cartilaginous fish that have thrived for hundreds of millions of years. They're still around. No, they died at the end of the Cretaceous. But they did start in the Devonian.
They survived the Devonian.
Yeah, exactly. Size 6 to 7 feet, / 1.8 to 2.1 meters long. So kind of a small or medium-sized-ish shark.
Okay.
It's not like a modern shark. It's like a nurse shark or a lemon shark.
Give or take.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'd wager every single shark, it is a carnivore. Can you imagine a manatee-like shark eating grass?
I mean,
grass.
Whale sharks and basking sharks.
Oh, I guess that's true. Never mind. But those are still technically carnivores, but...
Yeah, you could even argue omnivore because of all that gets scooped
up.
Oh,
okay. Well, then never mind. I thought I was making a clever joke, but then I forgot about the whale shark and the basking shark. okay, time. You ready for this?
Sure.
I don't think you are. Nevertheless, here we go. Late Permian to late Cretaceous.
Okay.
270 to 66 million years ago.
Okay.
Yep, that is a temporal range of over 200 million years!
That's incredible.
I guess this thing was just perfect evolution-wise.
I mean, hey, if a design works in nature, animals don't change.
Exactly. Location worldwide. These 200 million years were Hybodus' world. Everyone else was just living in it. Described in 1837. Pop culture appearances, Walking with Dinosaurs, Sea Monsters, with the Nigel Marvin one, and Jurassic Park Builder seem to be it for now. Every now and then you get a long runner, whether it be a show like Friends, a car design like the Volkswagen, architectural design like certain buildings like the pyramids. Sometimes there's a specific make that's so dang efficient, there's literally no reason for it to ever change.
I mean, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Even as the environment changes around it. So this is the case in the design of the sharks, or more accurately, the Chondrichthyes, who haven't really changed much since their origins in the Silurian. But here's the third thing about sharks. In actuality, this isn't technically a shark, or at least a true shark. You know that fun factoid about sharks being older than trees?
Yes.
Sorry to break your heart, but that's not actually true. I mean, it is true if you consider shark to be Chondrichthyes, the class of cartilaginous fish. They also include rays, skates, sawfish, and ratfish, in addition to sharks.
I mean, we all know that the family is old, and I am not surprised that certain branches have died off.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of them have survived to the modern era.
Absolutely. But most of the early Crunchicathins recall sharks are an extinct clades within this subclass, such as Hypotus, which is in the now extinct Hypodon group of cartilaginous fish. True sharks are in the Selechomorpha superorder of fish that constitutes all living sharks today, and those only evolved in the early Jurassic. But then again, these are all human-made definitions. Everything's really a spectrum rather than anything definite. Plus, most people still consider it and anything Crunchicathin to be a shark in the informal sense, in which case, yeah, sharks are older than trees.
I mean, that's where we're going to let the paleontologists and evolutionary biologists have their fun.
I mean, it's just like, would you consider a ray a shark?
I mean, technically, they're in a similar family, but a different branch.
Yeah, so like sawfish?
Sawfish, yeah, they're technically in the family.
Well, in that case, yeah, sharks are older than trees. So,
but again, we'll let the evolutionary biologists and the paleontologists have their fun.
I mean, what is a shark, really? I get most of my money from sharks, so. So, a shark can be whatever you want.
basically at this point.
Not that Hypotus or most other Hypodonts or other Crunchicathins looked much different from modern sharks. If I should assign at work, like Hypotus was a typical shark with a streamlined body, two dorsal fins, and that classic shark tail fin. I love me some shark tail fins. I mean, not in a soup or anything. I just think they look cool.
I mean, it's an efficient design in nature.
My favorite one is the Sharkopath from The Future is Wild.
I've seen that.
Because the thing about that one, as well as it having freaking Wi-Fi, because it has those bioluminescent things on the side. Its tail fin is designed like those, because this Sharkopath was designed to be like the most badass shark in evolutionary history. Its tail fin, rather than just being just a thing, it actually looks like those pirate cutlasses, where it has a little point as it goes up.
You know, there's a few sharks these days that actually have some of that.
Really? I didn't know that.
There was a short time as a kid I wanted to be a marine biologist, and so I had books and books and books on sharks, because sharks are awesome.
Yeah, so here's the shark. So there's sharks with tails like this?
Not that exact shape, but they do have
Because, like, the thing with the little point keel. There, it's like a cutlass, you know?
They do have an additional little keel.
Okay.
Look up a thrasher shark real quick.
Thrasher shark. Okay, hold on. Listeners, look up a thrasher shark. Assuming you're not driving, in which case, don't look at it.
Stay off your phone if you're
A long point.
Yeah, that's a thrasher. A lot of the high-speed sharks have those. So
that makes sense.
Makos will have an interesting tail as well.
The mako shark. Why is it just the front? I don't care about the front. I see. It's almost like a crescent moon. It's almost the same on both sides. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. But yeah, so speaking of points, like the points on the Sharkopath fin, or whatever you call keels, I guess is what you said. One of the Hypotus's distinctive features is its spines on its fin and brow. Just two little spikes.
Oh, yeah. That's a feature that isn't seen much these days.
No, which may have acted as protection from any predators attacking it from above. It's like you bite on it, you're like, ow, and then you let go. It swims away. In terms of what these predators are, with such long temporal range, they would have encountered plenty of things wanting to eat them. Like, we're talking like giant Triassic ichthyosaurs to Jurassic pliosaurs, Cretaceous mosasaurs. There was no shortage of enormous marine reptiles ready to chomp on Hypotus. Like I said earlier, they survived through all of them, outliving all but the mosasaurs, which went extinct along the same time as them at the Cretaceous extinction.
Interesting.
Then again, perhaps Hypotus actually didn't have such a long range. See, Hypotus also was called as a wastebasket taxon.
Yeah, I was seeing that when I was looking it up real quick.
Yeah, which is when scientists assign a bunch of similar creatures to the same genus as a temporary measure before they learn more about it. Sort of like how many giant theropod dinosaurs were originally described as a species of Megalosaurus back in the 1800s. I'm saving the Megalosaurus episode for sometime in 2024, because that would make it 200 years.
Oh, nice.
And also, since Megalosaurus is the first described species of dinosaur, that would be 200 years of dinosaurs, baby!
I mean, awesome!
Yeah! Oh, man. At least 200 years of human dinosaur knowledge. Not including the birds. Currently, the only species confirmed to be Hypotus are Hypotus reticulatus and Hypotus huffinus. Those only lived in the early Jurassic. So the only confirmed range is the early Jurassic. But all the others aren't fully confirmed. That's just entirely possible. Hypotus' one gimmick may not be a thing anymore. Come on, why? First, you're not a shark. Then you're not a super long living genius of perpetual evolutionary efficiency. It's like I don't even know you anymore, Hypotus.
Do we ever know these species very well?
That's the sad thing. We don't know jack about crap. So. But like I said, it hasn't been confirmed yet, so there's hope still. We'll just have to see.
We'll see.
But man, can you imagine swimming in these oceans? And just, I mean, there's it's a lot of different crazy things.
Incredible we survive our own modern oceans.
Nigel Marvin, what a trooper. Him diving into the prehistoric oceans with the megalodons and the liopleurodons.
Right, and everything else.
Yeah, and then like, let's see, what else did he dive? He dived with an orthocone. That was back when he mentioned his tank had to have a special type of oxygen because he couldn't just take the oxygen from the air because of the Ordovician.
Didn't he dive with a dunkleosteus as well?
Yes, he did, yes. Oh, that was a good one. I love that one. Good stuff. Basilosaurus, the whale, he dove with that. You know what's a species that I learned of recently that's got a really cool name? It sounds like it could be like a monster, like a sea monster. It's like, watch out for this one.
Oh.
Prognathodon.
Ah.
Or Prognathodon or whatever. But it sounds like Kraken, Leviathan, Prognathodon. It's a Mosasaur.
Oh, of course it's a Mosasaur.
I don't even know if it's that big. It's like 33 feet long. So I guess it's big. But it's not like Mosasaur 60 feet long, you know. But,
that's fair.
But it's just a name. Watch out for the Prognathodon.
Oh, no.
It's like Liopleurodon. Probably the reason why they exaggerate the size of Liopleurodon so much. Because that's an awesome sounding name.
It is.
Watch out for the Liopleurodon. Anyways. Hypotus had to watch out for all of them, though. Or not, depending on what you think of these wastebasket taxons. So let's rate Hypotus 1 out of 65 million. I'm going to give it 200 million for how many years I think it lived. Because I'm going to say, screw all these wastebasket taxons. They're all Hypotus, damn it. So out of 65 million, I'm giving it 200 million.
I mean, that sounds like quite the rating.
Yeah, I mean, look, people break the rating scale all the time. Friend of the show, Laura Owsley, barely uses it. She's like, I'm going to rate this 7 zebras. I'm like, out of? She's like, well, just 7 zebras. I'm like, oh, okay. What are you going to rate, Hypotus?
What am I going to rate this thing?
In your accurate assessments, your calculations.
I would probably, because it's a member of the shark family tree,
mm-hmm.
I am going to go ahead and stick it on the 30 million side. The shark family tree is durable as all get out.
Oh, it's just so...
They just survive everything.
I mean, like, again, the future is wild with those sharkopaths. That was on the furthest segment in the future. That was 200 million years in the future. So by that point, sharks, or at least a shark-ish family, would have been around for 600 million years at that point.
I mean, their designs...
They will last until there is no oceans left, I think.
Basically, yeah.
Like, as long as there's land, there'll be insects. As long as there is ocean, there will be sharks.
Basically, yeah.
So, but that's it for this week. If you'll get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@methadoncreator.com for your questions to any co-hosts. You can follow me on social media at methadoncreator on Facebook and methadon64 everywhere else, so like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can find Natasha Crack on occasionally. She has a public Facebook page, she said. So
I do.
Yeah, just to get some, see some art, other stuff.
Yeah, I post occasional art projects that I'm working on.
Maybe when you're out on the road, you could just, every time you see a truck, you'd be like, hi, Natasha! There's like a, there's a one in some number that's her. Depending on
Well, again, I've got to pass my test first.
Yes, of
and
course.
And that is easier said than done, especially when I'm taking on a manual transmission.
Yes.
But as I understand, this episode is coming out around the holidays, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. Actually, hold on. Let me check my calendar. December 27th. Hopefully all had a good Christmas.
Well, in this case, can I throw in a little holiday message?
Yes.
Actually, it's more or less... So at this present time, I am working for a food bank.
Yeah.
So I would ask that our listeners, if you're in America, look into feedingamerica.org.
Oh, okay.
And donate to your local food bank.
Yes.
Please do.
That would be good. That would be a wonderful holiday.
I don't
know
where you're all listening from. If you're in other countries, look into your equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you link to helping fight a real problem.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. Well, actually, this means this is the last episode of 2022, then.
Hey!
So hope all of y'all have a wonderful New Year's, and we'll see y'all in 2023.
All right, we will see everybody then.
Yes. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's see what else. Podcast, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic. I might have mentioned Hypotus once or twice. Well, like I mentioned, there's like the seafaring ones. I might have mentioned Hypotus. I don't know. Some of these I don't know. That's it, though. I just want to make sure everyone knows I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. I also have another book series called Teslanauts, but it's not related because it's about dinosaurs. But I guess promote my stuff anyway. You know? Anyways, that's it for this week. Say at the end of every episode of Paleobites. I mean, every time I've done a shark episode, I always do da-da-da.
Everybody play the Jaws theme song, all right?
I mean, wasn't they saying Shark Tale? Or one of the sharks, the vegetarian one, is like, oh, that song gives me the creeps. He's like, what do you mean? It's our theme song. And then that movie turns into like a gay allegory because that shark's a vegetarian and he dresses up as a dolphin at one point. It's a cross-dressing joke. Anyways, bye.